This is the Podcast Replay. This Podcast Replay is brought to you by the finest racks in the business. Pallet Rack City. 305-424-8547. That's 305-424-8547. Pallet Rack City in Hialeah. It's the company you need when you want your warehouse sporting the finest racks in the business. After all, who doesn't love a great rack?
Welcome back. Home stretch here of Inside the Paint. And I love the Ira glasses snatch right there. I think it's like it's become a trademark of this show. Feel free to drop your questions. Last segment of the show, you guys have been great so far. And hope you guys all had a happy Thanksgiving. So we got the Bulls game coming up, Ira. And I'll say this. That's been the team I think that may have surprised me the most. Not that I didn't think that they would be good. I thought that the talent level had certainly risen. But how quickly that team has coalesced, and also the fact that they've found a role for DeMar DeRozan to go out there and look a lot like the DeMar DeRozan from his Toronto days, and the way that he's been able to implement his game and how it's all worked together really well with Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's still out there, and he's doing all this with a broken thumb, right? Or broken finger. What they're doing right now is incredibly impressive. So, Ira, based on what you've seen from this Bulls team, where do you think the Heat can attack them? What do you think the Heat do strategically that could give Chicago some problems? And then we'll flip that around and where the Bulls may give the Heat some problems. We'll start on that end. How can the Heat counter what we've seen from the Bulls so far this year?
Well, first of all, I think it's the same hidden ball trick that they used against Charlotte when they tried to slow and effectively to a degree did with LaMelo Ball, is they've got to keep them out of transition. They can't play that kind of game. I know the Heat like to run and that's fine, but get back so they can't run at you. Clay, this is another schedule game. Look, we could talk about the Minnesota game and saying, hey, they arrived late from Detroit. They were on the road. They lost their legs at the end of the game. Well, tonight, Chicago has a very emotional game. They're in Orlando, and Nikola Vucevic will be back in the lineup, or at least is scheduled as we tape this right now, and that's going to be an emotional moment for them also. I think if I'm the Bulls and I'm Billy Donovan, I'm saying, look, we have this back-to-back on the road in Orlando, home against the Heat. If there's a gettable game for sure in these two, it's the Orlando game. So let's put all our everything, you know, in there, and let's make sure we win the Orlando game. Come back, pretty long trip overnight, have to face the Heat, and we'll deal with that. The Heat have to take care of these schedule games. Minnesota was lying in wait. They didn't play on Tuesday night when the Heat was in Detroit. They clearly came out with the fresher legs, and then we saw they wore the Heat down. So I think you have to play the schedule if you're the Heat. You have been off Thursday stuffing your faces at Kyle Lowry's party. Jimmy Butler's been back in his own bed. Okay, you'll sweat that off today. They're practicing at the Bulls practice facility. Then you come into the United Center on Saturday. You have to seize these moments. And if you don't, you fall to 6-7 on the road. And then the road doubts re-enter the equation. And you know what, Clay? After they get back from this 9-day trip, they play Denver. They have a home game on Monday. I believe they have Cleveland on Wednesday. And they're back out. Add Indy and Milwaukee on a back-to-back. That's going to be challenging also. You have to seize moments when the schedule favors you. So I think as much as anything the Bulls throw at him, whether it's Zach LaVine, who was, of course, traded for Jimmy Butler in the Minnesota-Chicago trade. So again, there are statements to be made. You have to take care of the moment. You have 2 days off. You have Bam gets the swelling down on that knee. You're going to get Sunday off anyway. I think it's a game that the schedule favors the Heat to a degree. I'll be curious what the line is. I guarantee it's lower than it would be in a typical situation. There are matchups there to take advantage of. Bam's quickness against Vucevic. Bam can get out and cover the jumper. The Heat should be able to put Jimmy on Zach LaVine. Kyle, okay, we'll see at his age what he does against, you know, against Lonzo Ball, who's been playing terrific. But the Heat should be in good shape if they're ready for the moment. If the Heat are looking at it as, it's the last day of a 9-day trip, it's the fourth game on the road, can't wait to get home. If they have that kind of attitude, one, they're in trouble, but two, they're not who we thought they were in terms of their veteran mental toughness.
And this is where it gives you a little bit of confidence, the fact that they've been able to rise to the occasion in these, maybe statement game isn't right, measuring stick tight game so far to this point in the season. Look what they did against Milwaukee. Look what they did against Brooklyn. Look what they did against Charlotte when everybody was talking about Charlotte. Washington, at the time that they played Washington, the first game, Washington was the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. The Heat outclassed them in the first game there. It looked like they were going to do it in the second night in Washington until officiating happened. So
and three pointers and bang, three pointers.
But I guess the point being, like, you don't look at that and say, okay, that loss. The measuring stick game so far, the Heat have risen to the occasion. So this game is another chance. It is a measuring stick game.
Yes.
And I'm glad you mentioned Lonzo Ball. I think he's one of the better stories so far early in this NBA season. A guy who, you know, he came into the league with all this fanfare and, you know, a lot of hype, and a lot of that was because of LaVar Ball going on every talk show. And the numbers and his performance and his production didn't quite match up. So I think he was largely forgotten about. He ends up in New Orleans. The role that they've got him in Chicago now, by the way, he deserves a ton of credit for working on his shot.
Yes.
He seems to have really, he's found that footing there. I don't know that he's ever going to be the elite player that was potentially, quote unquote, worthy of being a top three pick in the NBA draft. And yet you're seeing a guy right now who can be a real difference maker on a challenging team. I know you made the distinction there between challenging and contending team before we got rolling here. So, Ira, all that to say, this is a team that could pose a lot of problems. It's a team that the Heat could absolutely see down the line if they end up in one of those top four seeds and they get into the playoffs and they have home court advantage. And you're playing a Bulls team, even though they've got DeMar DeRozan, but they've got a lot of guys with young legs.
And you know what? In our typical third segment, it looks like Clay is briefly disconnected. So you know what, Clay? I'm going to answer that point and those 3 points you made right there. First of all, when I look at Lonzo Ball, I look at someone who reminds me a little bit, and Lonzo Ball reminding me of Jason Kidd and how he grew as a player. That at first he was a quick player who was able to get to the cup, didn't have to shoot, and then all of a sudden Lonzo Ball came around like Jason Kidd and realized the three-pointer or the outside shot has to be part of it. That's number one. It's a team asking Lonzo, I think, to be something different than he was. Chicago's letting him be himself. The point about Heat toughness in this moment, they've had three back-to-backs closing on the road this season. They went into Memphis after the home win in Charlotte, played very well, won without Bam. That's a good sign. They played the Clippers on the second night of a back-to-back at Staples Center after losing to the Lakers. They were up 17. They collapsed. And then the game in Minnesota. Can they go to school on those last two games? And here's another sort of interesting element about Heat Bulls when it comes to the teams playing Saturday at the United Center. Clay, this is the Tampa Bowl. These are two teams
under investigation
by the NBA because of the timing of their prime free agent signings. The Bulls with Lonzo Ball, the Heat with Kyle Lowry. This case is still ongoing. Both of these teams could lose first-round picks. Maybe this season's first-round picks. So they're a little bit on pins and needles. Both of these teams might lose an asset to the degree that they better have enough right now. So based on how the Bulls handle free agency, based on how the Heat handle free agency, even though the game is an 8 p.m. tip, maybe this team start the game at 7:45 since they're going to just jump the gun again.
You've been saving that joke, man. You've had that.
I said as soon as Clay disappears from the screen, I'm going to go with the A-list stuff. So we're there. So
okay. So that's the game I'm most interested in. Like, I know the game coming up on Monday night is the one that's juicier.
Oh, I'm plenty interested in that. Don't kid yourself. Yeah, I'm Clay. I am plenty interested in that game. And again, as you freeze over there on that side of the screen, I still think when you look right now at the Denver game, though, and as much as you might say, hey, it's different teams, a different time, you know, Markieff might not even wind up playing in that game. I still think when you look at the situation there and you're looking at what Denver might or might not have going with Nikola Jokic playing, he's had some injuries. It'll be a nice emotional night. Look, this is what Heat history is about. This goes back to the Knicks series and all those games also, and the way they played against New York. So I think when you look at it, this is what Heat fans live for, is these moments of contentiousness. So, you know, will middle finger lady show up? The one when Joakim Noah was walked off the court in that Bulls series. You know, the Heat have had a way of handling these moments. I can tell you this, and I've been told this, security will be on high alert because the Jokic brothers might be in the crowd. I think it's going to be a really fun night.
I know the Jokic brothers are awfully intimidating. Udonis Haslam's got a lot of family members in South Florida too.
Okay, fair.
I think you could have
and some Rottweilers at his Southwest Branch's estate if he has to bring, exactly.
Yeah, like that. But he'd have their dogs in the kennel. Udonis Haslam has his actual dogs in the kennel.
He could
have ready to roll in that game. But Ira, you know, the emotion of that game, and to me, I am expecting the Heat to come out energized and be the tougher, more physical team in that. But I, you know, you can envision a world where we're sitting here talking about that bad loss to Minnesota, but you can envision a world where if they go out there and they win this measuring stick game coming up against the Bulls, and then find a way to come out and get some get back against Denver and get a little bit of revenge and beat one of the better teams in the Western Conference. You can be talking about a scenario where we're feeling a whole lot differently about this team coming up.
Yes.
And by we, I mean the general we. I don't think you and I are overreacting to any of this stuff. I think we're trying to figure out, okay, what went wrong in Minnesota?
It's social media. Social media always is going to live in the moment. Matter of fact, social media is living in the moment in real time. So as the game is going up and down in Minnesota, they're reacting accordingly. Also, you know, we come from a football environment down here. Football's still king. So there's only 17 games, you know, in the NFL. There's 12 games in college. Every game means that much more. Like we've stated through this show on the Pallet Rack City Inside the Paint, the Heat are at the quarter pole. This is when you're figuring and getting an idea where you are. Most people will say standing-wise, if you're in good shape at the quarter pole, you're going to be in good shape in the final standings. They're in good shape. They're tied for second place in their conference. They've just been very uneven over the last two or so weeks. So you want to regain a degree of stability. Again, the Markieff Morris absence, don't downplay that. The Bam Adebayo need, don't downplay that. Everyone is going through stuff. And Clay, what the Heat haven't had yet, and unfortunately looks like every team is going to deal with it, is that one COVID absence.
Yeah,
when you have Nikola Vucevic, who's missed 2 weeks, when you're at Chris Middleton, who's missed 2 weeks, when you have Nicholas Batum, who is now out, Joel Embiid, same situation. So when you have these situations, you have to sort of build equity for it. So Saturday in Chicago, equity game, Bulls on the second night of a back-to-back. Monday against Denver, equity game, getting some revenge. You need to keep building the equity because Heat fans, if you thought this was tough times is when the Heat issue release and includes the term health and safety protocols. Because that's when you might lose someone also. You've got to keep building your equity early.
So, Ira, we're getting a lot of questions in the chat about Duncan Robinson. What are you seeing from him? And, you know, he had the game in Utah where you felt like, okay, maybe this is the breakout game. Maybe this is it. And, you know, I'd say over the last, I don't know, week and a half, it's been slightly better. And yet it's not the Duncan Robinson that I think we'd gotten accustomed to seeing, you know, both in the bubble and then last year, even with the ups and the downs. Feels like there's been more downs this year than ups. What are you seeing with him? Is it something to be concerned about at this quarter pole of the season?
I don't know necessarily, Clay, if it's the lack of three-point accuracy that's impacting him, but to me it's more that it goes beyond the three-point shooting. I think it's the foul trouble again, the early fouls. I think it's defensively being set up by the opposition. You and I have spoken about this. The NBA now is a pick-and-roll, switch-everything league where all of a sudden Duncan is getting stuck in really bad situations. We saw at the end of the game in Washington, they put Tyler Hero in the blender on every pick-and-roll. I'm not so sure, but I think almost every Washington basket at the end of that game was while Tyler Hero is the primary defender. That's what's happened with Duncan Robinson. I think they need to find a way that opponents can't as easily seek out the defensive matchup against Duncan Robinson, maybe not switch so much, maybe come up with different defensive schemes. But to me, if you're asking me, Ira, what are the Duncan Robinson concerns? The three-point percentage is not at the top of the line. To me, it's offensively things other than the shooting. I think he's been a little bit off. And to me, defensively in the foul trouble, he's made himself somewhat again, and he had gotten away from this as a liability. So I think it's more the complete game. He's still among the NBA leaders in three-pointers made this season. He's still a factor on the court. Other teams are still defending him with a precision eye toward him. But it's the other stuff. It's the nuanced stuff that he can't let go, seemingly like's been the case at the start of the season.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Duncan, and you could say this about a lot of shooters, so much of this is mental. And I think with Duncan, and I think he's talked about imposter syndrome before, and feel free to Google him and imposter syndrome where, you know, he can kind of get his take on it. But a lot of this is, you know, if you're in a situation where I think you're potentially a detriment to the team and that you're out there because, you know, they're finding you defensively and they're taking advantage of the fact that you're on the floor, and then you can't make up for it on the offensive end of the floor by making every three-pointer that you have, I think it kind of starts to manifest itself and it builds on itself in a way where you're starting to doubt yourself and whether the team would be better off without you if you're not on the floor. And again, I'm not trying to play amateur psychologist. I am trying to say that there is a level of – of mental involved in shooting. And when your primary role is that of a shooter, that it's a lot like, I mean, I grew up watching the Yankees and I remember Chuck Knobloch. And when Chuck Knobloch couldn't throw the ball to first base, you know, for a while. And then all of a sudden you got to bench him. I mean, there are mental things involved in shooting more so than any, because if just one little thing is off in your mechanics, the shot's going to miss. And with Duncan, I think if you're overthinking things, it just kind of manifests itself and gets worse and worse. So with all that said, it can go the other way really quickly too. If you start to knock down some shots, you can start to feel a lot better about yourself. And so I'm not to the level where I'm concerned that it's going to railroad their chances of winning the East. I'm not at that point, but I would feel a lot better for him, and I feel a lot better for the team if they go out there and he could start going out there and being the Duncan Robinson that we're used to seeing.
I agree. So, and with that, we end a doom and gloom show. But you know what, Clay? We will have so much more of a read when we meet again next Wednesday at our regular time, because we'll know what happened in the Chicago game. We'll know if anyone survived the Nuggets game, and then be looking ahead to a game against Cleveland, maybe more winnable. So I think our next show will give us more of a read, maybe more optimistic. But hey, if you wanted your Black Friday show, you certainly got it this week.
Go ahead and shop for your body armor for Monday, Ira. You're going to be good to go. That's it. That's a Black
Friday. It's going to be interesting. So I know we're encroaching on Big O's time, but you know what, Clay? Much better read the next time we talk next time.
Have a good Thanksgiving
Catch
weekend,
you next
guys.
Week. Take Thanks, care. Everyone.